You would please be opening your Old Testament to the 119th Psalm. Psalm 119. We're going to look tonight at God's dependable word. Have you ever felt like you just couldn't depend on anything? It might be that a friend betrayed you, or you got laid off from a job, or an investment you made went south, and you lost all the investment that you put into it, or your car broke down at exactly the wrong time. When is the right time, by the way, for that to happen? Amen. Haven't figured that out yet. Or the freezer quit working right after you put that side of beef in there. And you just, is anything reliable anymore? Can you depend on anything?
Preach.
Yeah. So we begin to wonder then. Unfortunately, some have reached the wrong conclusion. Well, there's just nothing that's certain. Yes, there is. If ever a human being experienced unreliability of his fellow men and his circumstances, of course, that would be number one, the Lord Jesus. But secondly, I look at the writer of this psalm, this 119th psalm. You read through that thing, man, he had some people that were working against him, should have been his friends, but they were anything but. They simply were not reliable. And yet, in spite of all the instability in his life, there was one thing that gave him security, and of course that was God. And because you can depend on God, you can depend on his word as well. So let's begin, if we may, by reading this section of the psalm from verse 89 through verse 96. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth, and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. So the first thing I want us to see tonight is from verse number 89, where God's word, he says, is settled forever in heaven. Now, the word of men on earth may change frequently. And undoubtedly, you've experienced that, as I have. Somebody tells you one thing today, they tell you something else tomorrow. Yeah, your car's going to be ready tomorrow morning. Well, it's going to be Thursday before it's ready. Well, we got to order a part, and it'll be 4 years from next Saturday. I don't know. But you know how that goes. The word of people changes. God's word is settled forever in heaven. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, quoted the prophet Isaiah, "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." God's word, as we said, is dependable because God himself is dependable. As we go on into the 90th verse, he says, "Your faithfulness," God's faithfulness, "endures to all generations." You judge a human being's faithfulness by determining whether they tell the truth and by determining whether they keep their word. The answer with God is yes and yes. God tells the truth, his word is truth, and God keeps his word. He is faithful. He is dependable. He is reliable. The reliability of God and his word is demonstrated by the orderliness of the universe. Look at the latter part of verse 90. You establish the earth and it abides. The earth and all of the various bodies within the universe were brought into being by the Word of God, the spoken Word of God. By faith we understand, Hebrews 11 verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In Psalm 33 verse 6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 33 once again, dropping down to verse 9. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. So the reliability of God and of his word demonstrated by the created universe. Today we have a thing that is quite popular now called intelligent design. It's sort of a halfway in between, maybe between atheistic evolution and absolute belief in creation. Well, it was at least an intelligent design. And I'll accept intelligent design as far as it goes, because God is intelligent and he designed this thing. So, okay, intelligent design, I'll buy into that to that degree. I want to take it a little further than that and say, let's read it in Genesis. Can we do that? And so I'm, as you know, a creationist. But intelligent design demands a designer. And when we see the design of the universe, that demands an intelligent designer and indeed a reliable designer. And God has demonstrated that he not only can speak the world into existence, let there be light, and there was light. Let the earth bring forth herbs, and it brought forth herbs. When God spoke, things happened. And so this demonstrates the reliability of God and of his word. The creation is sustained as well by his word. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for they all are your servants, verse 91. All the things that God made, we might wonder, well, why do those things continue? Somebody says, well, it's the natural laws. It's the laws of gravity. Who made those laws? Say, well, here's the earth, and here's the moon, and the earth has this attraction for the moon, and that's what keeps it out there, instead of just flying off into Never Never Land. And the moon also pulls on the earth, and that's why we have the tides. And again, I'm going to ask, why? Why do these two bodies have this attraction for each other? Who made this law? Who ordained this thing? And we have to go back to the existence of God, that God sustains this creation by his word. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. The same word that brought the creation into existence sustains it. And the constancy of that process demonstrates the reliability of God and of his word. God also created and sustains us by his dependable word. Look at verse 92. Unless your law had been my delight, I then would have perished in my afflictions. And we've talked all through this 119th Psalm. I'm sure you remember that we've been through other sections of this Psalm prior to this one. And we've seen time and time again how this writer was dependent upon God. And he knew that God was dependable and he could rely on him, and he embraced God's promises and he was not disappointed in those things. For God's word to sustain us in times of trial, we need to, number one, know it, and this psalmist clearly knew the word of God. And we need to believe it, and the psalmist clearly did. And we need to act upon it. And the psalmist did that as well and pledged to continue doing so. The psalmist knew and believed that God's word would sustain him and that it was true and that he ought to hang on to it for dear life. And that is exactly what he was doing. The psalmist delighted in God's word. Those of you gentlemen who are married, just think back in ancient history for a little bit. You delighted in that woman who is now your wife. You wanted to be in her presence. You didn't have to have your arm twisted. I don't think you did anyway. If you did, shame on you. To go and see her and to ask her, would it be all right if we have supper this Friday night and then we'll go out to a movie and we'll spend some time together. You didn't have to be coaxed and coerced and arm twisted and have a gun put to your head, so to speak, in order to do that. You delighted in it. The psalmist delighted in God's word. He didn't have to be coerced into reading and studying and meditating on it. He did that because he wanted to. God's dependable word gives us life. Verse 93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. God's word has always given life. And so we can depend on it even to this day. I want you to think back. This has been a few years ago. We studied the book of Ezekiel in Sunday morning auditorium class. And if you'll remember, in chapter 37, there was a rather strange vision. A lot of Ezekiel's visions were strange, weren't they? But this was a vision of a valley that was full of old dry bones. Yuck. Who wants to look at that? Well, Ezekiel looked at it, and God said, Son of man, can these bones live? Man, what's the answer to that question? Well, the answer is yes. And so God said to him, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And when Ezekiel did that, those bones came together, and then the sinew came upon the bones, and then the flesh came upon them, and then the skin came upon them. And of course, that was symbolic of old, dead, dry Israel that was there in captivity, and they're thinking, woe is us, we are hopeless. We are toast, we are gone, there is no hope for us, it's over. And God's message through Ezekiel was, no, it's not. Yes, you're in a pickle, and it's a pickle of your own making. It's your fault and nobody else's. But I'm God, and I'm going to bring you out of this. And so he says, you prophesy, Ezekiel, hear the word of the Lord. That's exactly what had gotten Israel into trouble in the first place. They didn't hear the word of the Lord. They wouldn't listen to their prophets. God said, fine, I'll send you into captivity. Maybe you'll listen then. And so finally, they did. During Jesus' earthly ministry, the word of God gave life. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. John chapter 6, verse 33, that the words of Jesus himself. Jesus' word teaches us what is required of us in order to be saved, to have eternal life. And we need not resort to the vacillating, changing, ever-changing, unreliable wisdom and traditions of men. It's God's word that we need to lean on. God's dependable word establishes for us a relationship with God. Look at verse 94. I am yours, the psalmist says to God. I belong to you. I have this relationship with you. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. Verse 94. What about you? What about me? Do we belong to God? I hope so. That's the whole idea here, is it not? Why would we want to be a Christian and not belong to God? That would be totally 180 degrees opposite of reality. Yes, we belong to God. All creation belongs to him in the generic sense. But in the Old Testament, the Jews belonged to him in a special way as the chosen nation who would bring forth the Christ to bless everyone in the world. Today, Christians belong to God in a peculiar way. The psalmist said, I am yours, I belong to you. Paul says, Romans chapter 6, that we are Jesus's, God's slaves. Well, I don't want to be a slave. I'm free, I'm an American. I can do as I please. Hold on. You will serve somebody. If you're not serving God, let's see, what's the alternative again? You're serving the devil. No, I'm not either. Oh, yeah, you are. May not have sense enough to know it, but if you're not serving God, you're serving the devil. And that's just how it is. So let's be happy to be the bond slaves of God. And in a little more positive spin for us independent-minded Americans, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, we are his children, we are his family. We have that relationship with him. God's word tells us the conditions for becoming his servants, becoming his children. Once again, we don't have to rely on the unreliable opinions and dogmas and the ever-changing opinions of people. God's dependable word assures us of safety. Look at verse 95. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. The psalmist's enemies were evidently trying to take his life quite literally. They wanted him dead. I don't know why. Doesn't matter. The point is, they were trying to take his life. Satan was trying to destroy the psalmist's soul. He wasn't so much concerned about physical life as I want to get a hold of this guy and make him give up his faith in God, his confidence, his loyalty to God. But instead of fretting and worrying, the psalmist placed his trust and his confidence in God and in his word. We talked earlier today in Bible class, 1 Peter 5:8, that Satan goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is very much still active today. But we can resist him with the word of God, just as this psalmist did, and just as Jesus did. Matthew chapter 4, the temptations. Command that these stones become bread. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Well, fall down and worship me. I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world. It is written, the Lord your God only shall you serve. Well, jump down off the high place of the temple. No, it is written, you shall not make trial of the Lord your God. Jesus responded every time, it is written. And we should do the same. Ungodly people can destroy the body. Matthew 10, verse 28. Jesus says, don't be afraid of that. Be afraid of him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Well, let's wrap up this evening by looking at God's dependable word, which stands in contrast to the unreliability of everything earthly. We introduced this lesson by talking about some things that are unreliable. People can be unreliable, your car, your freezer, whatever it is. There's just all kinds of things that you can't really depend on all the time. The psalmist says, I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. That sounds kind of like a strange statement. The consummation is the end result. And perfection, meaning completeness, not moral perfection, but completeness. The psalmist saw the end of what the world calls completeness. Here's everything that the world has to offer. The psalmist says, I've seen it. I know what it is. It's not reliable. It isn't going to be permanent. It won't last. I'm not putting my trust there. By contrast, he says, your word is exceedingly broad. He couldn't see the end of it. The psalmist could see the end of everything the world has to offer, and he says, I want nothing to do with it. Not going to put my trust there. But your commandment is exceedingly broad. He knows God's word is true, it's effective, and it will last. With God's word, man is completely equipped, Paul says, for every good work. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. So there's no need then for the human creeds and dogmas and philosophies and confessions and all of those other things. None of those being human productions, not one of them is reliable. What's reliable? There you are, right there. You've got one in your lap too. That's where we place our confidence. We place our confidence in God's word because we place our confidence in God. If you trust the author, you can trust what he said. And so I leave you with that this evening. When it seems like you can't rely on anybody or anything, you can rely on God. You can rely on his word. Tonight, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we'll stand and sing the song that Joe has announced and encourage your response.